was to be around 2,000 years ago? How might we report it in our culture where we're used to news being updated practically by the minute via social media or the News 24 channels? I wonder if we'd had that technology, if people would have put a video up, perhaps on a site like YouTube or something, or would it have been taken down because it appeared to be promoting extremist material? What would people have put on their Facebook page? And would you have dared to like it? I'm going to expose myself as technically incompetent and say I don't have a clue about all the rest, like Instagram and Twitter and things. I'm sure you have your own particular favorites. My way of getting the news, I'm afraid to say, is a tad old-fashioned. I like to listen to Radio 4. There are two good reasons I like to listen to Radio 4. One, it helps me keep my posh accent, and obviously not. And two, it really annoys everybody else in the family. As soon as they come into the car and hear what I'm listening to, which could be, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? The life of sea turtles or, you know, the endangerment of dolphins in the Bahamas, whatever. It's really, I find it really fascinating. They will instantly press a button which transforms it to magic, which I cannot stand. How would they report it, I wonder, on Radio 4? The thing is, the events that take place happen in a sort of backwater of the vast Roman Empire. I suspect that what took place then wouldn't be reported as headline-dominating news. They'd probably be thinking something along like Brexit or the Roman exit or something like that would be dominating the news. So it probably wouldn't be one of these stories that would catch the instant headlines. So maybe it would have to be reported by one of their correspondents, which I particularly love this one, when they do their sort of more in-depth look at a particular story that might have got overlooked otherwise. So I wonder if we went to the correspondents on the ground, how they might report the events that have been going on around them. So here's how I might have reported it if they'd sent me. Good morning. His claims were incredible. His actions, often miraculous. And his supporters, convinced. And yet, today, the self-appointed Son of God lies nailed to a cross. And the dreams of his followers are surely shattered. I'm coming to you today standing outside the massive walls of the great temple that dominates this ancient of holy cities, David's city, the royal city of Jerusalem. And as you can see from the pictures behind me, this great temple stands solid, a sign of stability and God's presence in an ever-changing world. But the last few days have been anything but stable in this tense city. Rumors had been rife for months that something was brewing over in the Galilee direction. Things came to a head on Sunday when their leader of this movement and his followers arrived in Jerusalem. The scale of the welcome here appeared to take the authorities by surprise. Vast crowds shouting and cheering for their would-be leader. On Sunday here, the atmosphere was almost like a party, a gigantic sea of praise and cheering. Well, the authorities here were quick to dampen the mood. They know only too well that the Romans barely tolerate this sort of thing. Their hard-won religious freedoms must be protected. Any talk of a pretend king or would-be revolutionary could result in the most brutal of responses from Rome. And it's very much fear that seems to have driven the authorities' reaction. After much behind-the-scenes negotiations, the decision was taken. Following a late-night raid, Jesus was arrested. His followers fled the scene. We understand indeed today, this morning, that his followers are still at large. The authorities were quick to send a clear warning signal to anyone who considered upsetting the status quo. Resistance and rebellion in these parts will not be tolerated. It's interesting to note this morning that the charges against Jesus have been religious in motive rather than political. Jesus stands accused of comparing himself to God, of raising expectations that he was somehow a messianic figure. I struggle sometimes to understand why they singled out this man. There have, as we know, over the years been various so-called messianic figures who have failed completely in their attempts to overthrow the Romans. But they decided to treat this man differently. The authorities almost seemed at times unsettled and fearful themselves. Perhaps that's why they decided to pursue this case through the courts in order to get the death penalty. There were audible gasps among the crowds yesterday as news swept through. Most had been expecting a public flogging, perhaps followed by a few years in jail. None really expected the verdict, death by crucifixion. Yet if anyone doubted the justness of the verdict, few were prepared to go against the party line. Very soon, those same crowds who had on Sunday welcomed their would-be king were shouting for his death. And this morning, they got that request. Just outside the city at the aptly named Golgotha or Skull, Jesus of Nazareth was executed. Alongside him, two other criminals this morning. A very public warning that to challenge the way things are done round here is to risk the same coming to you. Reports are already reaching us, and I must stress that these are unconfirmed reports at this stage, that Jesus is dead. And if that isn't the case, he has died remarkably quickly. Most commentators felt that a man at this age and his condition would last perhaps 2, possibly 3 days up there. And just a few minutes before we came on air, this city was rocked by a massive earthquake. And as you can see, we've been plunged into darkness. There are reports of some damage inside the temple. All very unsettling. And all a reminder that round here, peace is still a distant dream. That said, the authorities this morning must be pleased. The execution has gone well and no violence has erupted. Indeed, supporters of Jesus appear to have melted away, either in hiding or in shock. It has, as I reflect on the events of the past few days, been the strangest of week in this most holy of cities. In a short space of time, the joyous expectation of the crowd and cries for change have been silenced. Instead of a Messiah sent from God, we appear to have just another failed revolutionary. Once again, the Middle East has proved good at crushing those who dream of freedom and a better way of living. The authorities this morning want us to believe that it's all over, that life can return to some semblance of normality. Yet as I stand here today, I'm not sure that it really is. As unlikely as it now seems, it feels as though we're waiting for something else to happen, something history changing. And so I leave you this morning with that picture of an empty cross and a bloodstained sign above it that reads simply, "The King of the Jews."